stocks, bonds, ETFs, straight out of downtown Chicago. This is Zach's Market Edge.
Welcome to Zach's Market Edge, the podcast about investing in your life. I'm your host, Tracy Reinick, and this week I'm joined by Zach's growth strategist and the editor of Stocks Under 10 Portfolio, which is always a fun one, Brian Bolin. And we're going to discuss one of our kind of favorite topics around the office, which is right in Brian's wheelhouse, because this is his area, which is technology companies and those that have either game-changing technology or, you know, they're in the disruptive category. And we're kind of taking a wide stance on tech. I'm doing air quotes here while we're recording this because it encompasses so many things other than like the old standard categories now, Brian, and like social media and all that stuff. So I'm just including all of that in technology.
Right. You know, there's so much that goes on when we say tech. You know, it can be anything. You know, obviously some people think Tesla is a car company. Other people right. think it's a technology company. You know, are you applying technology to a phone at Apple or are you selling a service? You know, so there's many ways of looking at or defining it, you know, and pigeonhole some things into tech and some things that are not tech is a bad idea. So taking the more holistic approach.
Yes. Big, wide, yeah. wide angle. But let's start with this news that was out this week about Citron and what they're saying about BlackBerry, because we were talking about it because it seemed kind of shocking at first when they came out. They came out with this new report that BlackBerry's on their to buy list and they can see the stock doubling and maybe being bought out and all this great stuff is supposed to happen because they have this QNX thing that goes into cars. It's mainly goes into infotainment system in cars. It delivers video, does like GPS mapping, hands-free, that kind of stuff in cars. And they do have revenue off of this product already and they have for a while. It's $150 million. So it's not exactly like huge, but Citron thinks this could be the next big thing and suddenly they could become NVIDIA and they love it. So what's your first take? Like my first take was like, what? Yeah. I had to go and like look around. Like, what are they even talking about?
Yeah. It's, first of all, Citron, right? You hear that name and you're thinking this is a short seller. So this is the house that gives you bad ideas, basically, you know, or things that are going to go down. And here's, you know, the opposite. So first off, this isn't really in their wheelhouse, so to speak. You don't know if Citron's saying, oh, you got to go buy Amazon or you got to go buy Apple or buy something for a great price appreciation. They could very well have some of those things, but I haven't heard a lot of that and you don't recognize that name for that. So when they say go long BlackBerry, first of all, that's a red flag for me because I just don't think that that's their focus. Second, it's BlackBerry. You know, we haven't heard from them. It's got to be like 7, 8, maybe even 10 years, right?
I mean, yes.
Before the research in motion, the BlackBerry phones were super popular and everybody had one and, you know, how many millions of subscribers they had, 50, 60, you know, how many million, I don't know, tons, right?
Yeah.
But then, you know, the iPhone came along and that was it.
Yep, crushed them down.
You know, and now, you know, is there this chip that really does this? So if we think about like the car entertainment systems, you know, the Apple Play, you know, and for Ford has been out there, you know, just basically Bluetooth is there for, you know, putting your music or something like that. Recently, I was in a newer car that had the navigation systems in it, you know, so like having a third party navigation system may not be a solution out there. But, you know, if BlackBerry turns this thing on and gets into every single type of car, that would be great. But I just think that that's a pretty big hurdle to jump over.
They're in a whole bunch of cars already. That's where they're getting the $150 million in revenue. But I was just kind of looking around since this report came out and to kind of see what the business is with this QNX. And apparently Toyota is one of their biggest customers because they're one of the largest car makers in the world. And they just dropped them literally this week, like right after this report came out. And they're going with one of their rivals, which I guess is called AGL. And then you have Linux. Is that how you pronounce it?
Linux. Yeah.
And then Android is also, all these guys are in this same market. Mm-hmm. I guess AGL is some kind of consortium with all the car companies coming up with this technology that they all can use. So Toyota's out of there, and then BlackBerry had no comment about Toyota getting out of there. So already it doesn't sound that great. So I don't know. To me, I would not bet on BlackBerry to be the next NVIDIA, which is what Citron was kind of implying.
Yeah, I would definitely not do that right now.
Okay, so let's switch over to NVIDIA itself. The stock is soaring again. A lot of the analysts think it's crazy. Even they do. They think it's nuts. They have had spectacular quarters, and last quarter was another one. Should I be in NVIDIA? They have the AI technology. They are a game changer. Is it too late to get in there? The question.
Yeah, my mom was trading this, and then...
Wait a minute. Your mom was trading it?
Trading, you know, the way that she trades,
I'm kind of scared by that.
Kind of a red flag out there,
yeah,
right?
Now that you're saying this.
But, you know, she was buying it at 107 and then, you know, trying to get rid of it at 117 or something like that. But, you know, so not trading like as in a day trader, but swing trades, not a long-term type position. But, you know, was very, very panicky when the stock, you know, went back underneath 100. And I said to her, hang on, it'll go back to its highs of 120. But now we find it at 150 or just a little bit south of
that.
Way, you know, we do have to look at the performance over the last couple quarters. It's been very good with guides higher. To me, that tells you that the, you know, anytime that there's the beat and guide higher, that's like 6 months of good news in one day, because you've had the last 3 months were better than expected because they beat the expectations with the beat. And then when they raised guidance, they say the next 3 months are going to be better. So you have 6 months and one day of good news all at once. When you have those back to back, as NVIDIA has posted, you know, you really have a lot of good things going. So am I afraid of buying this one at the top? A little bit, but not really, because I think that there's going to be a lot of widespread applications for their chips going forward. You know, those artificial intelligence things are going to be in there. You know, I think of like my Nest from Google. It's the thermostat that is, you know, supposed to be smart and everything, and it tells the temperature from how you do it, but it really doesn't, you know, and it's just a...
It's not good?
It's not what it could be, we'll put it that way. You know, it could really be a little bit smarter. And with that artificial intelligence, maybe that comes along and that really helps that sort of product, those smaller end things. But right now, that sort of chip, an NVIDIA chip for a Google Nest, is, you know, makes the Google Nest cost prohibitive then for most people.
Right. Now, could Google, since they own the Nest, could they be coming up with something to improve the Nest themselves?
Certainly, you know, I would hope. I would think that they would. Yeah. You know, just how Google is on all of their products, they're continuously improving for the most part. But those artificial intelligence things that are just around, you know, just think of like the Siri or the Amazon Echo or all those sorts of things, they can improve, you know. So there will be that improvement, that next step. And that next step is likely to come from artificial intelligence.
Okay.
And so, those are most of the FANG names right there.
I know.
Except we just didn't mention Facebook, right? I mean, Amazon, Apple, we talked about. Google, we talked about. We didn't talk about Netflix or Facebook
in there.
We're still
getting to those.
Okay.
So do you think all the FANG is disruptive at this point?
You know,
in different ways, but are they all disruptive?
Yes and no. You know, Netflix is disrupting movie theaters maybe a little bit, but, you know, that's been going on for so long and there's still a need to go out and see the movie. You want to have that reaction or that sort of.
What about with their original content? Are they disrupting like the old television stations, you know, like CBS and all that? Like, why should I watch some CBS miniseries if I'm watching House of Cards or whatever else?
Right. And it all moves into the consumer and watching the consumer, how the consumer wants to consume the media. You know, are a lot of people just basically watching everything via streaming? And, you know, we've seen the increase of minutes or hours, or I forget what the Netflix metric is for that, but it's always increasing, basically. So that tells you that more and more people are moving to that sort of, you know, delivery system. You know, I watch much more TV that has been DVR'd and or Netflix or Hulu or that sort of thing than I do what's presented live. You know, the only thing that I'm watching live anymore are sports. And even at that, I'm watching less of that.
Okay, so let's talk about Facebook in particular, because I consider them to be one of the disruptors. Not for Facebook itself, although that could be, but mainly for Instagram. I mean, Instagram is creating jobs for people. Like, they're making a living off of being on there now. And certain creative people are getting discovered off of Instagram. It's opened up a whole new way of advertising for, you know, travel industry and retailers. And when I see like a business like Instagram where, you know, someone in their basement suddenly can earn a living off of doing it, I feel like that's a disruptive technology because those jobs never existed, you know, 3 years ago.
Exactly. And that's people finding their passion and doing something they really enjoy doing. So no matter what the pay is, they're going to be very happy with it.
Yeah.
You know, so they'll just continue to expand that sort of thing and find new ways to monetize that.
Yeah, there's 600 million people on Instagram now.
Right. And they just released also like the number of active advertisers. It was something, it was over a million,
yes.
I believe.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's catching mainstream for the most part is basically what that's telling you. You know, other than the number of posts, you know, when we don't see that sort of thing, they don't like give us that sort of detailed information. But, you know, I know from my Instagram feed that it seems like it's getting overwhelmed just in the number of people that I follow, which is pretty small anyway, just, you know, 100 or 200 or something like that. But I can't keep up with it on a daily basis anymore. But I'm getting older, you know, and I'm not, right. You know, when I was younger, when I was, you know, in my 20s, I would be able to manage looking at 500 people's photos every day.
Right.
But there's no way I can do that now. I give it 5 minutes before bed and then call.
Do you watch the videos, the Insta stories or whatever they're called? I think that's what they're called.
Yeah. You know, some of them I do and some of them I don't. You skip through them. You just tap it to skip through it. Some people are very annoying and, you know, when they constantly... You know, this is that the quintessential thing of the millennials and the new generation of now is like, I have to be in front of you right now. I need your attention right now. And here's all the ways that I want. I'm going to get it by doing like 6 videos a day, you know, in these stories. So
right,
it speaks to both, you know, the voyeuristic nature of what we're doing and, you know, how people find importance in their own lives.
So let's switch over to a company I know you like and you do consider them to be a game changer, which is Snapchat, also in the same space. They do compete with Instagram.
Yeah.
Why is Snap a game changer then?
You know, Snap is the type of thing where the younger crowd is all in with Snap. And it's kind of where the future is headed. So as much as Facebook is the dominant thing right now, you know, before Facebook, there was MySpace. And before that, there was, you know, something like AOL Messenger or who knows, whatever right. You want to call it, you know, Friendster or GeoCities. All these things kind of, you know, reached a certain pinnacle and then have declined from there. For years, we've heard about people, you know, getting away from Facebook. But, you know, there's the old crowd that, you know, likes Facebook because they've learned to use it and it's pretty easy. You know, Snap is a little bit more, you have to be a little bit more tech savvy. It's almost it's exclusively mobile. There's a lot of avenues, you know, for growth for them. You know, the most recent earnings was less than expected, you know, especially on the top line. And when you blow the top line on your first report, that was really bad. The stock really cratered from 23 to 17, but, you know, we're back to over 20 very quickly. So I think that first step, first fumble was kind of a buying opportunity down there right around that IPO price. So I think for the long term, if you want to take like that idea of if I buy something today and if I sell it 3 years later, the thing that I think that could potentially have a great return, you know, Snap is definitely in there. You know, I'm not saying like we're going to hold it for 70 years like it's Walgreens right. stock or anything.
Right. But. Okay. So that story came out here in Chicago because a local Chicago man.
A neighbor of mine, yeah.
Yeah. In your neighborhood, who's 98. He's still alive, but he donated $2 million worth of Walgreens stock to the Audubon, Illinois Audubon Society, and they're going to name a park after him. They bought the land with the money. And it all comes down from when he invested $1,000 in Walgreens stock about 70 years ago. And then he never sold any and he reinvested the dividends. And he had over 20,000 shares or something. And now it's worth, when he turned it over to them, it was worth about $2 million. Walgreens isn't a game changer technology.
Right?
Okay. Maybe those are the ones you have to be in for the 70-year period.
The game changer idea is definitely that, you know, the game changer in that thing is that he held it for 70 years. That's
right.
A game changing.
That's
true. Tell me someone else that has held something for 70 years.
Almost
no
one.
Right. And $1,000 when you put it in now, you know, and if you can hold something for 70 years, if it's still around, or it could be bought out by something else and it could be continuously, you know, revamped or something. But
yeah, isn't
if you give it enough time, a lot of things will work out.
Isn't it harder with the tech companies, though, to buy and hold for that length of time because of the rapid change? I mean, I'm thinking of like Yahoo. That was a hot stock, 1996.
Right.
You know, if you bought it in the 90s, it was great. But now not so great. You mentioned AOL. That was another one.
Right. BlackBerry before.
Yeah,
you know,
even BlackBerry, that was super hot, and it was the leader. And then, you know, so I guess the key is for these kind of game-changing stocks, don't always assume what's happening now will always continue to happen.
Right. The buy and hold strategy in tech is a little bit harder to do as opposed to a retail, you know, drugstore type idea. Because as the guy said, you know, people are always going to need drugs and their women are always going to buy makeup.
That's right. He was smart.
You know, will people always buy Microsoft software? Will that always be
the
operating system?
That's the question,
you know,
right?
Something like that. If you were going to put $1,000 into, you know, Microsoft, you know, buy 20 shares and, you know, go to bed and wake up 70 years later and you're Rip Van Winkle.
Right.
But you'd have to do it three times, right? Rip was 20 years, I think.
Something like that, yeah. But even that length of time would be extremely long for anyone to hold.
Right, think about, just
the average hold is 3 years.
Right.
For long-term investors, that's not even, you know, forget the short-term people. They're like a day. Okay, so we kind of talked about whether or not you should buy NVIDIA here. What about the other FANG stocks? They're all at new highs, all of them.
Yeah.
Should investors still be getting in there? Do I wait for a pullback? But that hasn't come in like years.
Right. So we've been trained to buy the dip. So when there is the dip, go ahead and buy all of them.
Okay.
You know, I think is the kind of idea. So if you can say, like, looking forward 3 years, all of those stocks will probably be higher. But right now you don't want to buy them at the top because you're scared, because you don't want to be buying them and then find out 2 days later there's a dip in the market. And now I'm down 8-10% real quick. So I think it's kind of like wait for that dip if you're not all in, you know, and once you can get fully invested, you know, I think the next 3 years are probably going to be pretty good for the markets just in general. So, and I even see a dip coming pretty soon. You
know?
So be prepared, be nimble, I guess.
All right. That's good to know. Okay. You mentioned a stock too before we came on for the podcast that I never heard of before, because it is a small cap. We were just talking about mostly all these big cap companies, and it's Extreme Network. And you own this, right, in the stocks under 10?
Right. This is a stock we bought in stocks under 10 at around $4 and change.
And its ticker is EXTR.
EXTR.
So it has a $1.2 billion market cap, but they do networking software. Is that right?
Yeah, they do networking.
Kind of trying to figure it out.
They've recently bought the networking assets for two big name companies. So Avaya and Broadcom, AVGO. So they bought their networking assets, you know, and both times they got them at a very good price, or at least the analysts on conference calls said they got them on very good prices. So, and we have seen the result over the last several months in this stock, you know, basically buying it at around four and change. And I'm looking at it right now, trading today at a new 52-week high earlier today at 1073. So we've seen like a big move in this stock, but I'm holding it for a lot more because I believe that those two acquisitions are going to drive growth for this year and probably next.
Yeah, earnings are expected to be up 103% this year. A lot of it probably from the acquisitions,
but still,
right?
So not full organic growth there, but there's obviously when you get something like that, there's going to, you know, the inverse of sticker shock, like when you see your car price come in and it's much higher than you expected, you're like, oh, I can't buy this. But if at the same time, when you see, oh my gosh, earnings growth of 105%, I need to look at this and get into this, you're going to see the exact same sort of thing. So I think over the next year or so, Extreme is probably a very good play.
Do you consider them to be a game changer? Or are they just kind of they're in the building blocks for
They're still building. They're not full-on game changer yet, but the things that they have done have changed the game for them. So their acquisition strategy, where they've rolled up, you know, two big parties, assets that are, you know, not highly looked upon anymore, the networking space, they're buying them at good prices, and then they're going to, you know, roll those up into a bigger entity. So good things for them yet to come.
Do you see any possibility of any of the big cap guys actually spinning off some of these entities? Like we just talked about Facebook with Instagram, or there's Google, it has the YouTube division, obviously, and several others. We haven't seen that yet. We haven't, you know, other than eBay getting rid of PayPal, we haven't seen, oh, we're just going to get rid of YouTube and let it go run off on its own.
Right. You know, I think, you know, Google, Facebook, and a lot of the big cap tech have been disciples of Warren Buffett. You know, and you think of like all the things that he spun off, you know, there's been very, very few. He's more acquiring things and keeping that vertical integration. And I would assume that, you know, something like Google, a place like Facebook, even Apple to that, for that regard, you know, they are not going to spin off their services. Facebook won't let go of Instagram. And I don't think Google is getting rid of YouTube anytime soon.
Okay.
You know, so not really for the most part. I don't think the big names are going to spin something off to try to unlock some more value.
What about Twitter? Do you consider them to be a game changer?
You know,
and will someone acquire them?
That's been the problem for so long. The service is game changing.
It
has changed lives. It has changed media. It has changed so many things. The management there has just been, you know, unbelievably bad. And going back to the very founding of it and the backstabbing that happened at the top four there of those names and how they have just continuously managed to screw things up. When they have something that's so great, I mean, in Hatching Twitter, a book that I read about, you know, Twitter, Mark Zuckerberg said that these four guys drove a clown car into a gold mine and they don't know what to do with it, basically.
Yeah.
You know, and that has been, every time I think of Twitter and how I was trying to buy the stock at $50 a share, you know, that's after they had then, they should have pre-announced, but they didn't, and the earnings leaked a little bit early. I remember that day very vividly because I lost a lot of money. But, you know, just all of that, the management has been terrible. The execution just hasn't been there.
You know. I own shares for a year, but I bought after the plunge down. So you think would be better. It's a value. And I still took a small loss after owning it for over a year. I was just like, I'm done with this because I'm not seeing any change in the management there.
Yeah. I took a gigantic loss in it.
And you have no desire to get back in.
And I don't think that, I think you have to almost wipe the slate clean again with them. And they tried to do that before with Jack, bringing Jack back and putting Omid Kordestani at the executive, on the chairman. At the end of the day, I think it needs a complete clean sweep at the top. Everybody that is there now has to be flushed out. You know, the ideas of what it has been and what everyone has been trying to force it into just haven't worked. They have to, like, really open it back up, almost start over from scratch.
Okay.
So
that's one to watch. Not a game changer, but don't buy it.
I would not buy it with the current management.
Okay. Did we cover everything? Can you think of any other game changers that we didn't talk about?
Well, Tesla. I love Tesla.
Yes.
New 52-week high.
Do you own it?
I own calls.
Okay. What about your mom? Does she own it? No. That's a good question. I want to have her on now, and we can discuss all her trades.
Yeah.
They sound so intriguing.
No, I know. She needs to understand market structure a lot more.
Okay.
Because when she...
Does she buy what she knows? She doesn't really know NVIDIA.
How did she get into
NVIDIA? Does she read your stuff? Does she watch your videos? And that's how she knew?
She does, but she also watches CNBC all day long, and she watches Josh Brown. And whatever Josh Brown says, she likes.
Okay.
And so downtown Josh Brown, shout out to you.
Okay.
You've got my mom's ear.
It's good to know.
Yeah, she'll buy a stock and then she'll look at the chart as it's trading and then do like this little chant. Come on, come on, you can do it. Come on. And thinks that that will propel the stock higher. That will encourage other people to buy it.
Wow.
So, you know, there's all sorts of ways to skin the cat. That is one of them. I don't know how effective it is. Maybe it isn't.
All right, you have to let me know if she is buying the Tesla, though.
I'm quite sure she's not in Tesla.
Now, that one is also soared. It's back to new highs, too, right? Would you buy it here?
I would. I would. I really think that there's still a titanically huge short position on this. The Model 3 is basically going to be unveiled in July. We're going to have sales numbers for the quarter coming out at the beginning of July. I think July is the month that it runs over 400. And really, at that point, you really have that tidal wave of, or the tsunami of hurt of the covering on the shorts there. And I think that this stock could easily see 450, you know, and we're 350 now. To say $100 on a stock in about a month and a half or even less, I think is very doable. And at that same time, there's also the potential of a pullback coming here. You know, with the FBI, with the Comey thing, and then all the other international aspects that are going on around. So I still would be super, I'm super bullish on the Tesla.
Okay. So definitely buy on dips in that one. If there are any.
I would even say go for it right now.
Okay.
Hold your nose and take the plunge.
Okay. Okay. This has been a good discussion. I think people do want to know kind of what's happening with FANG, whether or not they should be buying these. And, you know, because a lot of these disruptives They're just hot.
Yeah, we got all the hot tickers in this one.
Yeah, we do. So let's recap those. Well, BlackBerry, is that hot? Well, it might be in the last week. It might be now.
Might be too hot to touch.
That's one of the ones we said no, we wouldn't be buying that one. BBRY is the ticker, in case you're interested. And then we also said no on Twitter, TWTR. Brian still likes the Snap. I'm not a big fan, but he is. And so Snap, S-N-A-P. And then we do have the Tesla, T-S-L-A. And other, is NVIDIA in the FANG now? Is it one of the N's? There's two N's.
I guess. Netflix and NVIDIA, right?
Yeah,
not?
They're both in there. So Netflix, N-F-L-X, NVIDIA, N-V-D-A, Google. We still call it Google.
It's Alphabet. Google.
G-O-O-G-L. Facebook is F-B. And is that every? Oh, Extreme Networks. Almost forgot them. E-X-T-R. The little guys. Yeah, EXTR is that one. So yeah, there's a lot of ideas there. Don't be afraid to buy momentum.
Yeah, buy at the top. Why not?
Yeah,
it's only going higher if you hold for a number of years.
Yeah, if you're like the 98-year-old in your neighborhood. He survived many downturns.
Yeah.
Think about it.
You know, I've walked my dog past his house several times without knowing.
Maybe he could give you some tips.
Yeah, right.
Like how to hold 70 years.
How to hold stocks for 70 years.
Yeah.
I think at this point in my life, if I held for 70 years, oof, you know.
I don't know. Well, maybe with all the new cutting edge.
Does anyone live to 125, Danny?
No. Well, they might with the cutting edge technologies now. Some disruptive, we could see the fountain of youth finally.
All right.
I don't know. That's a possibility. Okay. So if you want to listen to our other podcasts, Brian's been on before and we've talked about a lot of tech stocks over the last year or so. So you can check out those always on SoundCloud and on iTunes, or now it's called Apple Podcasts. But you can subscribe over there and please do leave some reviews for us, because that always helps. You give us thumbs up or something on SoundCloud. You can check the love button. It's a little heart-shaped thing.
But with me on this one, they're going to give us thumbs down.
I don't know. I'm not sure that's an option. But yeah, be sure to leave a review. Let other people know what's going on the Zacks Market Edge so that we can spread the word. And otherwise, I'll be back again next week with some more stocks.